hate the Crimea stuff. I will note, though, that it's a little weird for people to be like, my line, my red line in the sand is his comments on Crimea, and then, like, complain about red lines being drawn on Israel.
Oh my God! Kill me! Oh!
No, do you think that Fetterman is going to sell secrets to Israel? Is Fetterman going to sell secrets to Israel? He's the biggest Israel simp I've ever seen.
You don't have to sell secrets to Israel. They're our ally. You don't have to sell them. You don't have to sell them the secrets. They're our ally in the region. Well, Jesus Christ.
Strategic partner, bro. He would try to become allies.
Like Obama. Like Obama. Like Obama.
It's got to be a troll. He has to be trolling.
Would you say that the Supreme Court is actually a pretty important guardrail and that it is meaningfully constraining this administration?
Wow. Can we all get a round of applause for the Supreme Court for not letting the President of the United States revoke the birthright citizenship that's existed for 250 years in this country with a fucking executive order? Thank you. Good job. Thank you. Good job, Supreme Court. Jesus Christ. Warning to Destin and Hassan fans from the mod. Please respect this subreddit and don't use this as an ideological battleground and a forum to air your grievances against each other. From my experience, Destiny fans are just as cultish, toxic, and downright obnoxious, if not vastly more so, than the Hassan fans. Destiny is a despicable person who's been credibly accused of sexual harassment, revenge porn, and various other misdeeds by four separate women. He's a Trump-like figure. Many ways, I think you typo that. Daily Mail article link. So any pro-Destiny videos or pro-Destiny content, unless it's done with a Bulwark pundit, will be immediately deleted and the user potentially banned. Even the cool Decoding the Guru's hosts, Chris and Matt, have stopped interacting with Destiny since these allegations came to light. Didn't they post my podcast? Am I allowed to say that? I still chat with Chris, but okay. Jesus. So maybe not the best decision by Tim to do a live stream with him, but anyways, this is a warning to users here about posting other pro-sex Destiny content. Jesus Christ. My God. Where does this guy come from? Holy fuck. Who is Joe Walsh and why should I care? Former far-right Tea Party firebrand who called Obama a secret Muslim and said bigoted things about immigrants. Also voted for Trump in 2016. Jesus Christ. He's apparently now a registered Democrat and part of the pro-democracy coalition. He's also appeared on the Bulwark podcast many, many times. Wait, is this like a hater? Is this an anti-fan sub? Or is this guy like fucking infiltrated? Wait, what the fuck? Holy shit.
Have they chatted with Hassan?
No. I'm sure they will at some point, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe. I don't know how triggered Sarah will get because the Hassan fans are going crazy on her. Jesus, this guy is like every fucking crazy dick suck. This guy has to be a Hassan fan, or he's just part of the far left and he doesn't watch Hassan, but he engages in all the same argumentative strategies. Don't forget Pat Buchanan, who emerged on the scene as a racist proto-white nationalist and proto-Trump figure in the 1990s. Plus, the GOP has always been racist. Ever since they officially adopted Southern strategy in the late 60s under Nixon, it's a backlash to African-American civil rights movements. Who can forget Reagan's genteel racism as well? He used to dog whistle about inner-city black folks as welfare queens and strapping young bucks. Oh, he didn't bring up any Democrats.
Their official subreddit?
Yeah.
RIP.
Plus, Mr. Bedbug Stevens is a bloodthirsty Zionist and a racist ethno-nationalist when it comes to Israel. No wonder he's writing such articles. I don't know anything about this Brett Stevens guy, but holy fuck. Oh, and he posts into Decoding the Gurus. Nice.
Jesus, they did a whole fucking mod highlight post about your ass.
Yeah, I know. I feel like molestiny has a better ring to it than sex pestiny, but on one of the recent shows, I heard Sarah say that Tucker Carlson attended JVL's wedding, and it got me wondering, what is JVL's history? Wait, who's JVL? I'm really just curious. He's one of my favorite voices in media, but he's kind of a mystery to me. JVL has given kernels from his background regarding Tucker. They were colleagues at the Weekly Journal. Oh, he's a host on the show. Gotcha. JVL said Tucker was the guy who would dip and ride a motorcycle without helmet just because. Tucker obviously then became the host of Fox News. JVL has never been MAGA. He was, as we used to say, never Trump from the jump. Yes, absolutely, Daniel. Although JVL was a staunch Catholic conservative who was against gay marriage, Obamacare, and wrote articles praising Sarah Palin before his never Trump turn. If you go back and read JVL's old articles and compare it to these days, it's a pretty shocking change. Oh my goodness. Articles in the Weekly Standard? How would one go about finding these articles? Here's one where he calls Obama the most divisive president, and others where he refers to the war on Christmas, defends Trump from racism, etc. Heartbreaking. Someone needs to follow up with some questions to JVL. Wait, how old are these? 2016, 2015. You need to answer for these articles from 10 years ago. Holy shit. Are they a Tim Miller / Bulwark fan, LeMayo? I have no idea. I don't know if they are or not. Maybe there are other people who are more left-leaning on the Bulwark. No, the Bulwark is kind of like, isn't it like a Republican-ish light show? Damn right, I see. And yeah, sorry, I should have deleted those posts earlier as Mockler hasn't even been a guest on the Bulwark podcast. Wait, what was this about? Adam Mockler in shambles right now. Oh, this guy fought him, but okay, thanks. Apologies, I missed that appearance. Bulwark does put out so much content these days. You are welcome to share Mockler content here, provided it's relevant then. It's just that the lazy cross-posts were getting too much. Oh, this guy fought him on it. All of them are basically never Trump Republicans. Gotcha. Damn. Jesus. I think Sam Harris is brain broken on kind of the Muslim question, but like Harris is just a bigot who despises Muslims and holds reactionary, neoconservative views on regime change and on domestic issues such as policing, immigration, racial and religious profiling, torture, race IQ science, etc. Guy's a racist right-wing asshole with a privileged Hollywood background. Bro, how these people are in so many places.
And, you know, softens their rhetoric or tries to appease him. And so, you know, if that turns into a knockdown, drag out fight, that's fine. It doesn't necessarily have to be that, but you do need to be prepared to push back because, you know, Hassan Piker is not a Democrat. He is not invested in the long-term success of the Democratic Party. And people just need to understand that and proceed accordingly. Well,
we should get you on Hassan Piker show.
One thing I appreciate is that every time I meet a Hassan fan in real life, I'm either surprised because I knew them before and I'm like, you don't strike me as someone who shares this person's belief, or I'm pleasantly surprised when they explain their beliefs and they're not the worst things that Hassan believes. And because he is sneaky and because he can disguise a lot of his more extreme takes, I think the reason you need to use this audience is that they're not all Hassan. They're people that...
I don't believe this. I feel like every time he talks about Hassan, I feel it's more and more insidious than I assumed before. Every time I hear him say it. Anything about it.
Hear the populist rhetoric and they say, oh, this is good. I want to, you know, like fix healthcare. I want these
things. Bring one of them on. Who are these moderate Hassan fans that you talk to? If anything, I feel like if anything, they would almost make it even worse because what? They're listening to Hassan and becoming radicalized?
Be better. And like, if you think that his like, you know, 50,000 concurrent streamer viewers are all like, yeah, let's like make America like, you know, fall to Western Chinese influence, yeah, a good chunk of them will, but a whole bunch of them are just like, wow, this guy's finally talking about things that I like, just like Bernie. And if you completely write him off in a way, you're also gonna write those people off. And I think you need to drag a lot of those people out of there.
You're going there to talk to the audience. You're not gonna convince us on. It's like when I do my debates, and I'm sure Peace Goes, so you guys, and even in Hutch, you're debating too. You're not gonna convince the person you're talking to, but there's people listening and they're not as invested. They don't have an image to uphold. Their pride's not on the line. Maybe you can get them to go Google some of this shit and maybe get out of that funk.
I don't know what you guys think, but I think that 2028 has the potential to be more contentious and more vitriolic and more toxic than 2016. Because, you know, to your point, Pisco, it is true that the Democratic Party approval right now is abysmal. The worst it's ever been, as far as I understand.
Yep.
And yet, I mean, you would think that now would be the time. That would be the best opportunity for like a left-wing insurgency. But that's not happening. And so I think that bitterness and resentment about that, and of course they subscribe to a narrative that the only reason that's not happening is because the big bad establishment is like blocking them from power. And I think that's going to make them more and more and more angry. And so I do worry about where that's going.
This is why I love Zoran Mamdani, because he gives a voice to that group. And he's under the Democratic Party's umbrella. And he's willing to work with Kathy Hochul and other Democrats. So I think it's fantastic. I think that calms
it down. I saw Coalition. I hope so. I think that's a model, too, that in terms of like insurgent socialists or left-wing candidates that they can look to, at least someone who's not a dead ender. I saw a chapter or a coalition under the DSA after AOC had sort of suggested that she was not willing to fund Israel anymore, which I think is the correct position, even including with the Iron Dome.
No defensive.
That wasn't good enough for them. That like this, whatever, I forget, is it DSA Emerge or whatever, that they were like, this is not good enough because you still said that Iron Dome is this or that. Yes. And so, yeah, I mean, these people are dead enders. Who cares about it? And maybe Hassan is more aligned to those people or not. But just use their audiences. Just use their audience against them. On some issues, though, I will say I'm more offended by the quote-unquote centrist Democratic types than I am by Hassan. I'll give you those issues and I'll give you those examples. Oh, Fetterman. Man. I am more offended by John Fetterman than I am of Hassan Piker's views. I'm just going to flat out and say it. And that the fact that like Fetterman is going on, who's this motherfucker?
Oh, that was clever. He's labeling Fetterman as the centristy moderate Dem? That's very sneaky. Fetterman was the progressive pick. Fucking Mike from PA just got roasted the other day on Twitter by trying to shit talk Fetterman when he was like fucking all in Fetterman a long time ago. That's from Mike from PA? Wait, that's what I just said, right? That was very, very, very sneaky. Good. That was a very sneaky switch up there. Nice. Oh, the idea that Fetterman is representative of the moderate Dem is that's a crazy take.
Who's advocating for the war? He has his Fox News show. Mark Levin. He's going on Mark Levin's show, and Mark Levin is odious. I would take Hassan Piker 1,000 times over Mark Levin and any of these warmonger, disgusting MAGA freaks.
To steelman him, maybe he means now he's more of a moderate. Does anybody consider Fetterman a moderate? In my mind, when I see Fetterman going on shows, voting with the Republicans to push through Mueller or whatever, he appears to be out on an island to me. Is that not the case? Am I just only seeing bad clips of him? I feel like Fetterman is an incredibly unique person. He doesn't represent like a more moderate or an average moderate Democrat at all. He's like on a weird moderate island. The guy literally stroked out and is on some crazy fucking Trump dick suck shit. Like, he's the guy that they literally bring in to all the Republican shows or Fox News to shit on Democrats all the time.
We seem to be just like, you know, that doesn't have the same social taboo, I think, amongst some liberals. And so it's just important to keep these things in perspective.
I hear you on that, Pisco, but at the same time, John Fetterman was no obstruction to Biden's agenda. He played ball on all the legislation they passed. He never got in the way. And I understand this issue is caused him to go with the right, but I would still argue that he's there. And if he is in power in 2029, I think he'll be a team player.
There's no way he's going to survive a primary. There's no way.
I agree. But if he was, do you guys think he would not be a team player?
As much as I fucking hate, I cannot fucking stand Fetterman.
I do think he would vote with the Dems most of the time, so I'll take it. But God, I hate this motherfucker's appearance on show. Well, Fetterman would not support holding up a Supreme Court pick. I don't think Fetterman would be on your side for that. If Alito or Thomas drops dead in the last 2 years of Trump's term, Fetterman is not a vote to, unless, as he made a statement specifically on this, I also don't think he would support abolishing the filibuster. These are my, but maybe he's made statements on both those things and I'd be wrong. I don't know. That's my vibe. I'm vibing that.
He would be the Joe Manchin of—
He's a shit talker. He's talking more shit about Democrats than Hassan does. He goes on Fox News at my party.
Not even close. What is the sane washing here? Oh my God. Oh, even Fetterman. Fetterman supported Harris for president, right? Was he wishy-washy on it? Oh my God, bro. It's so crazy. Crazy.
Sucks. Everyone in my party's crazy. Fuck John Fetterman. And honestly, and a lot of these lefties supported John Fetterman I never trusted him in the primary process. But there are just levels to this. And I think that MAGA is on the absolute bottom of the American context here. And I think that the Democrats need to shift more to the left on economic stuff. And yes, on Israel.
Okay, but do you think something changed between 2021 and 2024?
For Fetterman?
For Fetterman, yeah, because he was fully on board with the Democratic Party's agenda, and he was still doing little Fox hits here and there. Obviously, he didn't have the attention he has now, and he didn't say that the number one enemy is Trump deranged.
I can't speculate. I can only look at the results. Maybe the stroke had something to do with it. Maybe he just doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on the Israel stuff. Maybe there's some other reason for why he's talking shit every 2 seconds. Remember, Fetterman was the one Democratic vote for Pam Bondi. For Pam fucking Bondi. Yeah. Why are any Democrats voting for a Republican candidate? I think there was another Democrat.
He's pretty isolated, though. You know, he doesn't have like a ton of institutional support, right? I mean, he feels like he's off on his own little island, and he's not going to survive the primary. So that's going to be like the process playing out and sort of self-correcting, right?
No, absolutely. And I think that that's good, Hutch. And I think that you're right. I think that it shows there's a self-correction mechanism, that there are Democrats who are keeping an eye on our elected officials.
How does Pisco just walk back? Pisco was making it sound like Fetterman represented like the average moderate Dem. Fetterman is like the average, the more moderate type Dems, like Fetterman. No, Fetterman is like his own thing.
The American context, trusted him in the primary process. Fuck John Fetterman.
There's no way.
I agree. But if he was, do you guys think he would not be a team player?
And Mark Levin is odious. Advocating for the war, he has Fetterman. I'm more offended by the quote-unquote centrist Democrat types than I am by Hassan. I'll give you those issues and I'll give you those examples. Fetterman.
Centristy Democrat types. He's making it sound like Fetterman is like one of many. Fetterman is an incredibly uniquely fucking irritating as fuck Democrat, in my opinion, at least from what I've seen. The idea that he represents some huge amount of fucking moderate Dem thought.
Lefty supported John Fetterman in the
change between 2021 party's agenda.
Maybe there's some other reason for why he's talking shit every 2 seconds. Remember, Fetterman was the one Democratic vote. I think that you're right.
So that's going to be like the process playing out and sort of self-correcting, right?
No, absolutely. And I think that that's good, Hutch. And I think that you're right. I think that it shows there's a self-correction mechanism, that there are Democrats who are keeping an eye on our elected officials. All I'm trying to say is to put in perspective that Democrats have a series of attributes and aspects and policy positions. And some to me are more offensive than others. And I consider what Fetterman is doing and the Fetterman nation, the Fetterman types, these kind of enlightened, my party sucks. I just find that to be odious and reprehensible. And maybe I'm fucked up, but that offends me more than like the dead ender Hassan types, but it does. Especially when
I agree. He was on.
Because Hassan never says, wow, you know, fuck this, my party sucks. Oh my God, bro.
Fox News the other day, and he said that the leader of the Democratic Party is Trump derangement syndrome, and that's not helping.
That's crazy.
That's not helping, man.
That's insane. But no, you should push back on Hassan Piker. I fucking hate the Crimea stuff. I will note, though, that it's a little weird for people to be like, my red line in the sand is his comments on Crimea, and then like complain about red lines being drawn on Israel.
Oh my God, kill me. I hate, I blow them all up. Trump, please God, Trump, just do it. Just Trump, you can free us from this region, okay? Please God.
Like if it's like a weird thing to put in a line for some sort of foreign conflict vis-a-vis like just as a principal matter to be a dead ender when it comes to, and listen, I totally support Ukraine, continue to fund Ukraine.
Also, wait, who has this position? I'm sorry, who's a dead ender? The amount, this, my brain is getting fried. Who the fuck is a dead ender on Ukraine? Who has ever come out and said, oh, so that it's going to be between AOC and DeSantis, AOC and JD Vance? I don't think AOC supports Ukraine enough, so I wouldn't vote for it. Who is he even talking? We're inventing enemies at this point. We're inventing lib positions that there's not a single liberal on the planet that hold. I don't think that combination of words, I wouldn't vote for a Democratic candidate who wasn't 100% in on fucking Ukraine. That string of words has never been said by anybody in the discourse. Nobody has said this before.
I think that Russia's invasion is completely reprehensible. We should be fighting against Russia, etc. But just be consistent about it. And if you're going to have a dead end position on foreign conflicts, I don't think that in principle, I don't really see a reason to be so offended by drawing a red line in one and not the other.
The red line on Ukraine, by the way, I know I shouldn't even bite into this framing. I don't don't know who has a red line on Ukraine. I think most people just say we should support them more. The red line on Gaza is we need to completely and totally detach ourselves from Israel in every single possible way and possibly militarily invade and depose the current government and the genocide and maybe separate ourselves from the Gulf states as well, because who the fuck knows what would happen after separation. Like, these two issues are not even remotely the same. They're not even remotely the same things.
So the people that I've seen drawn a red line about Hassan is for his other rhetoric. And I think just the fact that he said what he said about Crimea just illustrates that he's not consistent on his anti-imperialism, anti-war position. He's only anti-imperialism if it's, you know,
vis-a-vis the West. 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Back, right, yeah.
But, yeah, no, his position sucks.
We got a chat from Wick. Everyone, Fetterman or Hassan, who are you voting for in 2028?
Fetterman.
Hassan.
Wow. I'm voting Fetterman.
I'm voting Fetterman.
You guys are. That's a Fetterman, easy, as much as I can't stand him. It's just so, God, it's so much sane washing, dude. It's crazy.
You guys are insane. You guys are, I mean, this,
no, he's against anti-democracy. Fetterman's stupid and awful, but, you know, I don't think he's going to try to, like, destroy the American system.
I think that's crazy. But
we already talked about this, though, Pisco. Like, would you feel confident that he would not go to China and give up our secrets?
Uh-oh.
I have no view on that he's going to. I don't know if he's a Chinese spy. You have access to that? That you think he's going to nuke Israel?
Oh, my God. You're asking me a hypothetical about him being a Chinese spy? You're asking me a hypothetical? Can you prove it? Well, no, it's a hypothetical. What the fuck? If you could prove it, he'd probably be going to the State Department.
He's more sympathetic to China than America, is the question.
He's definitely sympathetic to China. Yes, he's definitely sympathetic to China.
Sympathetic.
Do you think that Fetterman is going to sell secrets to Israel? Is Fetterman going to sell secrets to Israel? He's the biggest Israel sim I've ever seen.
You don't have to sell secrets to Israel. They're our ally. You don't have to sell them. You don't have to sell them the secrets. They're our ally in the region. Well, Jesus Christ. What the fuck kind of question is this?
I'm getting brain broken.
Here's my line in the sand. I am in favor of fully cutting ties with Israel because we should never be allied with an apartheid ethno state that's getting explicit U.S. military backing to perform a genocide on people just because they don't want them to be part of their country. Okay. And they're in fucking NATO. That's crazy. Okay. Jesus. Oh, no, wait, I'm talking about Turkey. That's my position. You want to get rid of Israel? Get rid of Turkey too. And then we're good, okay? I want to hear the same ardent, and I could have even added, is slowly taking over another territory, Cyprus. As long as we're willing to get rid of Turkey too, because guess what? They're a formal ally. They're actually in NATO with the United States, and they're killing motherfuckers every day.
Well, technically, Israel's a partner, but I'm saying, like, you know,
we just shouldn't be a partner. No, this is crazy.
I understand that, but I'm just saying strategically that it's like worse. What do you think would be worse? Like selling our secrets to Israel or selling our secrets to China?
He's going to say selling them to Israel, or he's not going to take a position. He's not going to take a position, or he's going to say Israel. I'm going with he's not going to take a position on it.
I'm not sure that anyone's on the books. Right now, I think that currently it would be worse to sell secrets to China.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Never mind. You got it. Okay. Point for Pisco.
I think it's worse to sell secrets to China, 100%. But if you ask me in terms of the totality of policies in this hypothetical, I would pick Hassan any day of the week. Fetterman is a MAGA sellout. He is a MAGA sellout. He's saying every Democrat has Trump derangement syndrome. He's voting for Republican MAGA bills.
He's against the Save America Act. He can't be full MAGA.
He's in favor of the Laken Riley Act. He's in favor of funding ICE and DHS. Also. He's in favor.
That was Raphael Warnock. Yeah, okay.
Oh, dude. I would never fucking argue with Iran anything related to fucking anything that happens in Congress. I would just immediately concede. I'd be like, I don't think Ossoff is committed. And IRI's like, didn't you know that Ossoff changed his middle name to fuck Laken Riley or whatever? Or actually, I guess it would be pro Laken Riley.
And that's bad. And Ossoff gets points deducted from that. He's not in my S tier. He's in my A, B tier because of what he did there. And he should apologize for that shit. But I have no tolerance for MAGA whatsoever, MAGA sympathies whatsoever. And frankly, I think this discourse is fucked. And I'm not going to engage in any more on like the coalition building, non-coalition. I think it's stupid as fuck. But yeah, I think Fetterman sucks. And I think that people, for example, who say that like Trump isn't that bad or that like the party needs to stop being so up in arms about Trump when he is giving these like insane takes, part of this illegal war. Fetterman is supporting the illegal war in Iran. This is one of the worst policies we've ever done. It's an affront to the Constitution.
It wouldn't surprise me if Fetterman is, by his rhetoric, and because he does come off as like an Israeli simp. But I mean, like, it's not like Congress has voted on it or anything, right? I don't know, right?
It's affront to everything that he was supposed to stand for, from the ideological position on no new wars. Hassan wouldn't get us into that. And that is just a concrete
Hassan would
situation.
From NATO, he'd sell us out to China.
We'd
be doing a lot worse.
Trump is saying he's going to get us out of NATO. This is insane. Trump is anti-NATO.
MAGA. Like he's defending MAGA. Fetterman
is supporting the alleged president in this conduct, which is fracturing NATO and showing NATO to be toothless, unfortunately. And it's causing Trump to break from NATO and put pressure on our NATO allies. I mean, anyone who's supporting this war, it should be a line in the sand. The mere fact that I have to argue, like, this is an illegal war. It is fucking up American foreign policy interests. It is going to spend a lot of billions of dollars. And I don't understand how we can, anyone who supports it, that's like one of the worst things you could do.
But there's public perception of the funding as well. And a lot of people out there may think that if you're voting no on supplemental funds, you're abandoning our troops. That may be a big reason why some of these guys are voting no, or voting for it.
That's not Fetterman. Fetterman is cheerleading the war. So, I mean, we can talk about, like, why are you laughing? Is that, you don't believe that? Fetterman is cheerleading.
Oh, shit. Why the fuck? Why'd you laugh?
Is Fetterman chilling in the war, yes or no?
I have not.
Oh, no! Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? We heat him up with the yes or no. We got the yes or no. I need yes or no soundboard thing.
Seeing yes. His thoughts on the war, I'll take your word for it that he is. And I agree, he's misstepping. But I'm just saying, in general, somebody like Jerry Golden or any moderate Dem, I think, would vote for it possibly because their district believes it would be abandoning the troops who at that moment if we don't.
And that is fucked. And that is fucked because this war should be a litmus test. I'm not saying that you shouldn't vote for a Democrat who, like, given the choice between Fetterman and a dye-in-the-wool like MAGA person that's, you know, further even MAGA, I obviously would pick Fetterman over that. But this war, the policies related to ICE,
private property, I stand Lenin, who like genocided the kulaks. Like, this is not like, I think you're not weighing the totality of the worst things he said.
Of course I am. Of course I am. Of course, I mean, like, we're doing the same thing with the Epstein hypothetical and all this stuff and like the checks. I'm not assuming he's going to be able to achieve those aims. And given that fact,
oh, we're talking about who would we hypothetically support, knowing that none of their policy would come true. But then why is it that? Notice how Pisco earlier said, "Well, I would support Hassan." He literally said, "I would support Hassan because, broadly speaking, I have a more policy alignment with Hassan than I do with Fetterman." But now he's saying Hassan wouldn't be able to get any of his policy through.
Now you're making a guardrails argument.
It's not a guardrail. So when someone asks you who you're going to vote for president, like, in any hypothetical, you're assuming
you should say that they should hit him up with my Hitler hypothetical.
That I think Pisco might have said I was deranged.
I hit Pisco up with this hypothetical, and I think he called me deranged on Twitter, where I was like, oh, in that case, I would definitely support Hitler over, I think I said over Trump, but I would support Hitler over DeSantis. I would support Hitler over literally any Republican, because Hitler, even as deranged as MAGA is, Hitler is super unpopular. Nobody would fucking do anything with Hitler's policies. But, like, that kind of misses the point of the question, no? Like, oh, I would support Hitler for president because he would be impeached on day one. Are we really, like, oh, I would support Hitler for president because he's dead. oh, fuck, bro. Oh, you got it.
I mean, total dictatorial power, right? That's what you're assuming when you're asked that question.
No, I'm assuming that even them just in power is going to be worse for the country if they can shift the Overton window towards more of their politics. I think that's fundamentally worse.
I ask you a question. When someone asks you, if in a hypothetical you choose one president over another, are you assuming complete and total dictatorial power, yes or no?
Basically, because I'm assuming the worst, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. So that is not how, when I ask the question and when that question is asked to me, someone just scoffs. So when you're asked the question.
Oh, who laughed? I love this. Who laughed? What am I thinking of? God, there's got to be a movie. What am I thinking of? Who's laughing in here? You think that's funny?
Who would you vote for president? Are you assuming the normal constraints on a president? Or are you assuming complete and total absolute authority?
I guess me or whoever's got.
That is like saying, oh, well, who would you support for president? Would you rather have Hitler or Hassan? Oh, I guess I would vote for Hitler. Why? Oh, really? Why? Because I don't think he would win the election. So it would be just a wasted vote, I guess. Like, what are we...
Whoever scoffed. I mean, there's a hot dry ride. You really assume someone asked a question about
president. The point of this is, Pisco, would you vote for Donald Trump if you thought he could get nothing done versus Fetterman, who you think would be worse and could get the war in Iran passed? Like, if you thought that might happen, maybe. But that's not how I operate when I'm voting for someone. I'm like, damn, I don't want this other person
to be anywhere
near
power. You don't think about what they could do?
Even if I think... the guardrails could keep them in, like, I would have thought the guardrails would have kept Trump.
You don't consider what they could do, what they're able to do. You don't consider that?
I absolutely consider what they could do, but I also consider, hey, there are a bunch of norms being violated that I never thought might be broken in my lifetime, and I'm not going to risk the person who's saying the worst
and,
things.
And Fetterman abides it. Fetterman abides it. Hold on, Fetterman abides ICE abuses and constitutional disgusting conduct. So he's on all fours.
I am the scoffer, okay? I scoff because of the ridiculousness of Fetterman, not your point. I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I agree that Fetterman is doing some ridiculous things right now, and I'm just laughing at how absurd he is, like saying that we have Trump derangement syndrome on our side. So I agree with you that he's misstepping. I'm just trying to make an argument for the other moderates who may end up voting for something like this or something.
I don't think Fetterman's putting on a show. I just think he is this guy. Like, I think he genuinely believes these things. And, you know, I think he managed to hide a lot of that from the voters when he was running, and now the voters can see
I disagree with that.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I don't think he's hiding anything. I think Israel kind of broke his brain for whatever reason. I don't know. It happened to a lot of people on the other side of the issue too. Where they're like, you know, it's a problem.
Anti-Semitic to suggest that Mossad used a stroke gun on John Fetterman's guy, and I will not.
I don't think he has Havana syndrome.
Well, okay, but real quick, Pisco, you're like, oh well, he supports weakening NATO because in supporting this war and Trump's rhetoric on it, that is like, hey, NATO, you're not helping us, and maybe he even wants to do like the Iraq thing, invoke Article 5 to get NATO allies to help us in the Strait of Hormuz. John Fetterman is still unequivocally pro-NATO. Hassan is unequivocally anti-NATO, and like almost worse than Trump is. And so like the idea that like, oh well, I'm going to weigh these things equally because of his tacit support for the war in Iran, I think, is really bearing the lead of one of the.
I think Swapil knows that I said he's being sussy, and so now he's hedging. He knows it. Also, I think he has the power of Ymir or the founding titan or whatever, and he's back in time because he already knew I was going to say it. That's what's happening here, I think.
People wants to dismantle this entire thing and thinks it's a force for evil. And the other person unequivocally supports it, but might be undermining it by supporting Trump's war.
He genuinely believes that America is the most evil country that has ever existed on the face of the planet. When he talks to like young lefty audiences, he will tell them you're in the belly of the beast. I mean, like that. He genuinely believes that. He believes that the Republican Party is the most evil institution on the planet, and he believes the Democratic Party is the second most
Hassan
evil.
Hassan is bad. Hassan has really bad beliefs. Yeah. Hassan would not even be on my top 10,000 list of candidates that I would
What do you want to say?
I think the point that IRI and Swapil are trying to make is that someone like Fetterman can vote with Democrats like well over 90% of the time and have really bad takes, but that's not quite as bad as somebody who is genuinely invested in like the downfall of America as it currently is.
Okay, I disagree that Fetterman is not devoted, at least in results, to the downfall of America as it is. You say that like he's ideologically committed to the downfall of America. You say what? What do you say? What? To? What's the what?
He's getting so mad.
What's the what position?
I don't understand how you could possibly not like.
No, I'm asking what is the what position? You said what? What was over?
You think that John Fetterman is as
what is the what position? No,
I'm asking you the question. Do you think that John Fetterman is as invested as Hassan Piker in the downfall of America?
I said that in result, that Fetterman's actions would contribute more to the downfall of America than someone who's than Hassan, to the extent that he's ideologically committed to it. Yes,
how?
That's my answer. In result,
how could you possibly believe that?
I think that this war, the Iran war, is contributing to the decline of America in a geostrategic way, in a way that we've like not seen before. And so, number one, support for this war from an internal constitutional perspective, from a geostrategic interest.
I'm gonna be honest. This might be the hottest take I've ever given in my entire life. I don't agree with that. I think that, as stupid as it sounds, I think that the tariffs and the threats to invade our allies undermined us more. I think that if Trump had not made an enemy of the entirety of the fucking free world and hadn't constantly shit on NATO and threatened to invade Greenland and all these other retarded things, I bet Trump could have gotten some people to go to Iran with him. I bet he could have. Because we were able to get people to go with us to bomb Yemen. I know this is more severe, but I think we absolutely, to fucking get, like, not to say, you know, one side or the other, like, nobody likes Iran in that region, right? All of Iran's friends are gone. This is Europe's way to hit back at fucking Russia, in a way, right? Which they'd all be fucking gung-ho about, because Trump is being a useful idiot for them there, right? Saudi Arabia, none of the GCC doesn't include Iran, right? It's got to be just Gulf states, right? Nobody likes Iran down there. Europe doesn't like Iran. Everybody would be cool with this. But so the idea that like the Iran war is uniquely hurting US, like, I think it is hurting now, but it's not because, like, it's not because of the Iran war. It's because of all the other shit building up to it, you know?
This has helped Iran, weakened America, weakened our alliances with our actual friends, like the Five Eyes, with Canada, with Australia, with all of EU. And so when I tell you that this war is contributing to the downfall of America, I believe it. I think that that's true. Regardless
of the consequences of his support with Iran versus someone who fundamentally believes we should pull out of NATO, that US aid is like a CIA front that we should have dismantled anyway, that we should capitulate to China. These are not equal things. Not even close.
Wait, what is not equal to what?
You are saying that his...
Answer the fucking question. What is not equal to...
Dude, I would be donating so much just to have somebody laugh. Who laughed? Who chuckled? Who is that chuckler?
What is the thing that's not equal to something else?
His support of Iran and the damage this is doing, which I don't disagree with, is somehow equal to Hassan's fundamental view and desire to dismantle America as the hegemon.
I never said
right
they
now.
Were equal. In what respect?
They're not equal. One is worse, equal? Right?
Wait. In terms of worseness, his dead-ender position that America is a great empire, the great Satan, whatever you want to say, that belief, what action are you expecting that is equal and comparable to what's going on with the Iran war?
He would literally try to make Iran like a strategic partner, bro. He would try to become allies.
Like Obama.
It's gotta be a troll. He has to be trolling. This is an A+ epic fucking troll from Pisco. It has to be an epic fucking troll, right? Like, Obama tried to make us an ally to Iran? A+. That's fucking Kino. That's Kino shit.
I mean, like an actual...
Like Carter.
I mean, like, no. I mean, like, someone... He supports Iran. Do you understand? He supports Iran. That's his position.
Okay. He's pro terrorist organization because they're the resistance. Is that really the same consequentially as this guy's doing a bad policy that will make America weaker on a stage versus I fundamentally believe America should ally itself with terrorist groups and also, like, dismantle all of its reach across the country for better or for worse? Like, these are not equal things. And if you think one is worse, unless the only argument you're giving is he couldn't do it, which is, I don't think, a very strong argument, I think obviously, you're picking Fetterman over this.
He couldn't do what?
Unilaterally pull out of NATO.
He couldn't
like,
do
Joe
what?
Biden, Joe Biden introduced legislation that is preventing Trump to an extent from doing this, right? So, like, if your argument is, well, he couldn't do it, so it's okay that he believes that? I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So, Phil, I said it was okay that Hassan believes that it's good to pull out NATO. I said that, right?
No, I didn't say that.
I didn't say that, right?
I didn't say you said that.
And I didn't suggest it either.
I didn't
What are we even talking about?
Right?
You suggested it. I said
no, you just said, so it's good, so it's okay. You just said, so it's okay.
You think I have the belief that it's okay to do something that Fetterman is doing? I don't think you think it's good. Well, I think that you think that he couldn't accomplish this, therefore it somehow isn't as bad and you would pick him over, right?
I think that makes logical sense. If you don't think that he's going to be successful in an action, that
if you don't think,
weigh
and I'm not
against,
so confident, I don't
as much,
think
right?
That would, I don't think that should be the deciding factor as to whether or not you allow this person to have executive power.
Wait, Soypill, aren't you the big, okay, like, the whole guardrails are failing guy? Now you're saying the guardrails are...
I'm saying I don't trust the guardrails to hold because, like, oh, Hassan will be, you know, Captain Lion. He won't break any norms. Like, we'll check his power. I'm like, no, fuck that. I'm not putting this person in power. I'm not risking that.
Fetterman would, like, appoint some crazy conservative judge to the Supreme Court.
No,
Fetterman
I
don't know about that.
Yes, he
would
fucking
that. No,
would.
No, he would not.
Wait. He says appoint. Would vote for the appointment? I think he would.
Why would he? Like, you understand
you,
that
you,
he.
So
he
you guys are sweeping for Fetterman. You realize that, right? You're sweeping for MAGA. That's what you're doing. You like MAGA. You don't think MAGA's that bad. You don't think MAGA's that bad. I wasn't convinced of that hutch, but now I'm convinced. You don't think MAGA's that bad.
Peace go. There's a difference between.
I like the reverse weaponization of everything too.
Between saying that, you know, that Fetterman has taken some bad positions and like voted with Trump some of the times or whatever. Yeah, but the reality is he has voted with Democrats like over 90% of the time.
But
like he does support Democratic Party policies. I want him primaried. I think he's a bad Democrat. I think he's bad for the like party brand overall. And I think he's really unpopular and he's going to be primaried.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that he's like literally MAGA. He would appoint a conservative Supreme Court justice. I don't understand like the basis to make that.
The guy is okay. So what's more offensive to you? What's more offensive to you? Him going out and trashing our party constantly. That's John Fetterman. That's John Fetterman. And Hassan does that too.
Right.
From the perspective. No. So they're equal on that front. Agreed. And in some cases, Fetterman's worse.
Equal.
And that he's downplaying. So Fetterman is downplaying Trump, correct? And Hassan is not. Can you answer that question?
That's one aspect, though, Pisco. That's one aspect.
Wait. Hutch, answer. So is Fetterman down?
I mean, Hassan kind of does downplay Trump, right?
Hutch, is it the case that Fetterman downplays MAGA, yes or no?
Yes, at times.
Yes or no?
And he does so more than Hassan, correct?
Sure, yeah. I don't know if Hassan ever downplays MAGA.
He shouldn't grant that.
Who is like...
So in terms of...
By saying that Kamala and Trump would be equivalent on some things, he's definitely downplaying him, but...
Identification of the threat to this country. In terms of what I think is the overall state of the base, the Democratic base, or what have you, I think that...
But Pisco, I don't think...
Why are you laughing?
Because I don't think you're processing like...
Why are you laughing? He's getting so pissed off. Why?
Fully processing that Hassan Piker legitimately thinks that America is the most evil country that has ever existed.
He's a Marxist-Leninist.
In totality, he's like way worse than Pisco. Fetterman. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Pisco, do you think Fetterman is siding with MAGA because he wants MAGA to win, or he wants the Democrats to do something different?
No, I think that he is MAGA-lite. I think that he wants aspects of MAGA to win over. I don't think he thinks that Trump is that bad. And I think that he wants Democrats to be more on board with MAGA actions.
Okay, I disagree. I think he wants Democrats to win and do better, maybe to moderate a little bit.
I mean, I could be wrong on this, but like, I feel like Fetterman to me comes off as like genuinely a fucking annoying centristy type person. Like, I don't think he's like secret MAGA. I think he's like, we really did have Trump derangement syndrome, guys. We got to come back to like the center more. Like, that's what he comes off to as me. Not like an actual MAGA crazy guy or whatever. But I mean, I could be wrong on that. Like, I feel like he thinks of himself as like an enlightened centrist, you know?
Feels they've gone too far on some things, but I think it's nowhere near MAGA-like. But you're entitled to your opinion.
Right. I mean, you think that he consciously thinks, as he goes on his shows with Mark Levin, this disgusting freak, and on these Fox News shows with these disgusting MAGA freaks, that he's doing what's in the best interest of the Democrats to win. That's
yes,
your thought process?
I think he's, in his heart, he thinks he's helping the Democratic Party by trying to correct them from going too far.
I think so.
I think he's a free rider. I think he's disgusting. And I think that he is abiding by this unconstitutional terrorist threat of these MAGA elitists who are destroying our country from within and without and making our country weaker.
Why doesn't he switch parties?
I think you can make a valid argument for that, Pisco. I just disagree, but I think you can make a valid argument.
But Pisco, answer that question. Like, why doesn't he switch to
the
Republican?
Because he loves being independent. He loves being the guy, the one good Democrat. These people, these enlightened centrists, and you understand this, have a sexual attraction and fetish to being this, I say both sides. You know it's sexual. It's the Chris Cuomo's of the world. It's Stephen A. Smith. It's all these motherfuckers. They get their dicks hard being the one guy who calls out their own side.
He's like kind of trolling,
right? Legitimate answer. Fired up. That's what gets me hard.
Wait, what's hey, it's good to have you back, brother.
I want to move on from this. We've got like 10 minutes left, and we haven't talked about the birthright citizenship case, and that's a Pisco's.
Oh yeah.
Game. Did you guys watch?
That's my shit. That's my jam. That's my jelly. That's everything.
I got hard during that. When even Sam Alito was carrying weight for the fucking ACLU and saying like, yeah, resting this entire case on the idea that domicile is like the one determining factor and not just like an additive here is kind of ridiculous. So much so that the ACLU lawyer was like almost trying to argue with him until was it Ketanji Brown Jackson like clarified, or maybe it was Sotomayor, was like, no, I think he's actually agreeing with your point that domicile here is clearly not the distinguishing factor as to whether or not you need it to be a citizen. And so this, I think that was just such a total fucking embarrassment for that Trump lawyer.
Wait, so Flavio, would you say that the Supreme Court is actually a pretty important guardrail and that it is meaningfully constraining this administration?
Yeah, I don't think it's completely 100% capitulated to Trump, but once you make the immunity case.
Josiah's hanging himself hearing that. Wow. Can we all get a round of applause for the Supreme Court for not letting the President of the United States revoke the birthright citizenship that's existed for 250 years in this country with a fucking executive order? Thank you, good job, Supreme Court. Make them clap. Yes. You did it. Good job. Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. Put Robert's face there.
I think a lot. You got lose a lot of will from me.
I just think that this is another example of this administration just being really impotent in a lot of ways. I think it's a pathetic administration, and a lot of the rhetoric that I hear about the administration is that he's like all powerful, and I just keep seeing the system check him over and over and over again. I also want to ask Pisco if he did you look at the executive order that he did with respect to mail-in ballots or whatever, and do you anticipate that that's going to survive judicial review?
I don't think that it will be upheld by the courts. So I did a little design segment on it. So let's start first with the birthright citizenship issue. I think that it went very poorly for the administration, and some of the most brutal questions were from Gorsuch. Gorsuch was really taking them to task on the foundation of their rule. They argue that rather than construe this phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof to mean like what jurisdiction means in the context of the 1860s, that they invent this new thing of lawful domicile. And he was putting them through a bunch of hypotheticals, including a question that everyone should have an answer to if you're engaged in this discussion, which is, what about the children of American Indians who have sovereignty over their tribal lands? This is like a level one hypothetical, level one argument in terms of the historical discussions that everyone needs to be prepared for, because the answer is no. The answer is no. They're not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States in the way the 14th Amendment anticipates. And everyone agrees with this. But the way Gorsuch asked the question, he's like, well, under your test of lawful domicile, wouldn't under the 14th Amendment these people be lawfully domiciled and therefore get birthright citizenship? And he said, I need to think about that. Yes. So that's a straight contradiction. They can't both be subject to the jurisdiction and not subject to the jurisdiction. And so that was a brutal, brutal moment. And there were many moments like that. I think that this increased my prior that the executive order is going to be overturned. And I would expect to see a 6-3 or 7-2 decision on the result, maybe a fractured rationale. Maybe they'll go with a statutory argument. But I think even Kavanaugh's in
play. 7-2. How bullshit is it? You have 9 justices. How bullshit is it that Republicans get 2 free spaces on every fucking bingo card when it comes to Supreme Court decisions? Isn't that kind of bullshit that it's like they always start up 2-0 and then we have to figure out, like, you know, if Amy and Roberts or Amy and Kavanaugh are going to be, or Amy or Gorsuch are going to be moral today, I guess? I don't know. That's
there. On the question of the executive order for mail-in ballots, I think it's clear the president doesn't have authority to do what he's doing. If you look at the actual executive order, the statute he cites doesn't give him that power to do that. They cited like the guarantee clause. And so I think there's been a lot of litigation so far that's been initiated, including by Mark Elias and by several states. And so I expect this order to be struck down.
Well, it doesn't seem like Trump was very happy with how things were going during the oral argument either. He left after the Solicitor General finished. Didn't even bother to.
People are saying that Trump left and he was mad. I don't think that it's true. I think he probably just left because he was done listening to that side of the argument. I think Trump is too fucking retarded to know if the arguments are going well or not. I seriously doubt Trump has the wherewithal to have any fucking idea how those are going.
Here, the other side, he's like, I'm fucked, I'm out of here.
He probably didn't understand what was going on. Right? Yeah. Like, I don't know what these words mean, I'm bored.
There was one line from, was it Roberts, where he said, well, the times may have changed, but it's the same constitution or something like that. And once I heard that, I was like, that doesn't sound good for the administration.
Yeah, even the Roberts questions that were like a little critical of the ACLU, it wasn't full, but like, it didn't really feel that bad. Well, and I thought the ACLU, go for it.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, go ahead.
No.
Oh, I was going to say, I think even Amy Coney Barrett brought up this idea of foundlings, that if a baby's just turned over like at a fire station and you don't know who the parents are, is it an American citizen or not? No. I mean, it's just absurd what he's trying to do here.
Right. And I really like, as a layman, listening to this legalese and then being able to boil this down to, if your theory is correct on the Trump side, what you're saying is that the executive can at any point just decide what citizenship means and retroactively remove it from a bunch of Americans. And this is absurd and clearly not the intention of the Constitution and also just not feasible. And like the only thing they could, you know, defend against that was like, well, you're not asking us to come up with a pragmatic solution for this. We just want to make the argument and then we'll figure out how to fucking, you know, remove specifically the people we want, which is just like such a weak, limp dick thing that even the Supreme Court, even the conservative judges were like shitting on them for that, which is nice.
Yeah, I had this conversation with an immigration lawyer where the kind of position that the administration is taking is something like that you only get citizenship by grace of the king, by grace of here Trump, right?
Well, that's the kind of way that card, right?
Yeah. Yes. And that, by the way, that irony should not be lost on anybody, that everyone's talking about, oh, you're cheapening citizenship. You're cheapening citizenship by allowing the, you know, enforcing section or the 14th Amendment. But Trump is literally selling pathways to citizenship through the government with this gold whatever card. So no, I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, it really is a disgusting view of citizenship where it just is at the discretion of the, you know, the president, the alleged president here. But no, I think that it was a good oral argument if you're following it and if you want the Constitution to be enforced. And yeah, I expect now us to see a good opinion over it. But yeah, it's unfortunate that like we even have to litigate it this far. This should not have been, in my opinion, even accepted. It should have just been like a, like Kavanaugh suggested, a one paragraph opinion that says, hey, we're upholding Wong Kim Ark, dismissed.
This could have been an email ass hearing. Well, that actually raises two questions for me. The first is, how did you lose that debate to Ryan Mulally so bad if it was such an obvious case?
Because
I heard they voted for him. And second is, why?
Just so you guys know how biased the audience was,
It's official.
Anna Kasparian barely, you remember the debate where Pearl like had a stroke on stage and like wasn't able to, she like won by like 0.5% or something. That audience is biased. But I'll let him. And I predicted he would get the win from the audience vote from word to word debate. I'll let him take the win. He looked like a fool. And he got into the same traps as the Solicitor General did. All those same hypotheticals about American Indians, about fugitive slaves, and, oh, sorry, the children of illegally imported slaves. Amy Coney Barrett used that exact same hypothetical that I used to cook Ryan on stage. You guys can all watch it against the Solicitor General. And he also did not have a good answer for it. That's my view.
I was just trying to trick you, Pisco. But the real question is, why did they hear this case?
They heard this case, I think, because this, even though the Supreme Court is like a, it's like they get to choose when to exercise, oftentimes, their appellate jurisdiction. They will do it if it's a circuit split or if it's like a really important constitutional issue. I think that there was enough of this rumbling going around that for them it was an important issue, and they've already kind of limited the extent to which lower federal courts can address it on a wide universal basis. And so they felt that it was important to put finality on it because it's an important constitutional issue. Well, I wouldn't have done it, but that's, I guess, their view.
The public definitely is not backing his move here. I think the public still overwhelmingly backs birthright citizenship. And in fact, I don't know if you guys know this, but like...
Fuck me. Hold on. Wait, I have to listen to that again. I don't think that was correct, but this is an important thing. Hold on. Sorry.
Children of illegally imported slaves. Amy Coney answer for it. That's my
I was just trying to trigger you, Pisco, but the real question is, why did they hear this case?
They heard this case, I think, because this, even though the Supreme Court is like a, it's like they get to choose when to exercise, oftentimes, their appellate jurisdiction, they will do it if it's a circuit split or if it's like a really important constitutional issue. I think that there was enough of this rumbling going around that for them it was an important issue, and they've already kind of limited the extent to which lower federal courts can address it on a wide universal basis. And so they felt that it was important to put finality on it because it's an important constitutional issue. I wouldn't have done it, but that's, I guess, their view.
The public definitely is not.
Hold on, I just heard about this the other day. Wait, fuck. Wait, link me. What is the name of the case that we heard oral arguments on? Hold on. What they managed to avoid the merits on this one for way longer than they should have, because the first time this stupid argument showed up was it was in the Trump v. Casa case, and instead of arguing the merits of that case, this is the one where they struck down the concept of universal injunctions. And so the ACLU had to certify a class to do a class action challenge, and then they had to go through this whole dumbass process in order to get writ of certiorari for the Supreme Court to hear it and then finally evaluate the merits. But it was after they were able to get those nationwide injunctions knocked out. Sorry, nobody said anything wrong here. I remember this was like a stupid thing from before where it's too much to explain. The Supreme Court ruled that if the government is doing something that is arguably unconstitutional or illegal or whatever, that if you want to challenge that a single district court can't issue an injunction against the government across the entire nation. They can only enjoin the government's behavior in a particular district. So there were cases where every single person, people started to appeal these decisions, or they started to challenge the Trump. No, they didn't appeal. They would challenge the Trump government to court cases or whatever. But when the Trump government, when the administration would lose cases, they never appeal them, so that they wouldn't have to hear like a merits-based thing going up to the Supreme Court. But I guess they finally figured out a way to get it up there, because this whole thing is fucking retarded. I don't know what the state of injunctions is right now, but yeah.